Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, 2017, Episode 4. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. I happen to be your, host for this little shindig. The real star of this show is the one, the only, Dr. Rob Zadiska. Hello, sir.
I thought you were going to say it was the beer.
Well, the beer is the star of the show, and we'll get to the beer a little bit later on. But I do want to remind you, to see who has a chance to win this year's Remington Trophy, check out the official fall watch list at RemingtonTrophy.com. From Aaron Brewer at Texas State to Zach Shackelford at Texas, see the entire list at RemingtonTrophy.com. You also see the 2017 Remington Trophy winner at Remington Trophy presentation at the Rococo Theater, January 18th, 2018. For ticket information, go to RemingtonTrophy.com. Did I say the 18th? I think it's the 13th.
I'll have to check my calendar.
I think it's the 13th. I should have the website up as we're speaking, but I don't. But I believe it's January 13th, 2018 at the Rococo Theater. So, Rob, here's the deal. We are recording late today because I just got back from vacation.
Hold on. It is the 13th.
Yes. So I corrected myself. 13th. It is the 13th. And I'm sorry about that, Dave. I just didn't want to start the entire podcast over. But I just got back from vacation, which means I'm a little absent-minded. But I have to say, I did something I've never done in my entire life. Now, I grew up in Western Iowa, just 20 miles from the Nebraska border. I've lived in Nebraska the last 25 years of my life. And I finally went to Fort Robinson. I finally went through the sand hills. So what we did is we left.
Beautiful up there.
I was pleasantly shocked and yet surprised. We took Highway 20 up through Valentine to Shadron, down to Fort Robinson, stayed in Fort Robinson for 5 days, came home today. We were recording this on Friday on Highway 2, which went through the heart of the Sandhills, Alliance, and then my favorite town along the way. Are you ready for this? Terry Keneally's going to love me. Hyannis,
Nebraska.
I loved it.
Been to Hyannis.
You know, there's not much in Hyannis, but what I liked about Hyannis was just the overall scenery. I said that was almost the heart of the Sandhills, where they were at almost their highest and most beautiful point. I was shocked.
It's, you know, when you think of Nebraska topographically, it's not what a lot of people think.
I mean,
everybody thinks it's kind of like this barren wasteland of,
flatland.
Flatland, yeah. And it's not. I mean, it's, you know, you get along the Missouri River Valley. I mean, there's a lot of rolling hills along there. And, you know, I'll admit it, there's some flat land, but I mean, you get kind of some foothills of the Rockies kind of stuff when you get down in the south, far southwestern part of the state as you push into Colorado. You get up into the sand hills. I don't even know how to describe it. Rolling hills doesn't even do it justice.
No, and then, of course, when you're up by Fort Robinson, you've got the buttes, which is just kind of getting right into the Black Hills. I can honestly say this is one of the most relaxing, rewarding, best vacations I've ever had. If you've never been to Fort Robinson, I know I'm probably in the minority of the people who listen to this podcast. I highly, highly recommend Fort Robinson. Went by Don Beebe Stadium at Shadron State. I was in Shadron. I got to go by the stadium. I'm one of these guys who likes to go to college campuses. So we went up to Shadron State, went by Don Beebe Stadium.
You know, I was actually talking to one of my son's football coaches. Actually, it was yesterday, and he had gone up to Mount Rushmore, but had gone through the same area. They did the same thing. Made a pit stop in Shadron for no reason other than to check out the campus. They sat and actually watched football practice for a day. This was just last week also. So they watched football practice at Don Beebe Stadium.
it was odd
up
because
in Shadron. Yeah, there was
like one single set of bleachers on the visiting side. I'm like, I hope they add more bleachers for the visitors.
I don't think they care about the visitors.
They don't care about the visitors. And we got to, is something up there named for Danny Woodhead yet? Because something's got to be named for that guy.
One would think, especially considering the fact that he's putting together a pretty darn nice pro career.
And he also had a really great college career. He did okay. Chad. Yeah, he did okay. You're absolutely right. But so if you know, we didn't go to Mount Rushmore. We went to Wind Caves up in South Dakota. Have you been? You said you like my pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw you guys going through the caves.
Yes, the Wind Caves was awesome. Yes, amazing. Simply amazing.
I've never been there.
So there you go. There was my vacation.
South Dakota, yes. Been all over the place up there. Have not been to Wind Caves.
Hey, you know, if you follow Dr. Rob, you can all week long at Doc Talk Sports. The guy was a Twitter machine while I was on vacation. He got into some political commentary, got into Obamacare, what doctors should be paid. I'm sitting there going,
sorry, I probably get into that a little more frequently now than I should.
So all I was doing at Fort Robinson is thinking to myself,
that means that we are
and I couldn't wait to get back to drink tonight's Infusion Brewing Company beer. Of course, the Infusion Brewing Company, the official beer provider of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. And tonight, we are drinking the Infusion Honey Saison. What do you think, Dr. Rob?
Oh, that's a good beer. I don't even want to know what the alcohol content in this
stuff is. It's not bad, 5.6%.
Well, that's not bad.
It's not bad. IBU of 21. I was a little nervous because I went up to get the growler tonight. And I said, I want the honey saison.
I never get nervous going into Infusion Brewing for a
but, well, here's where I got brewed. She goes, I'm sorry, I can't give that to you. I said, what? She goes, yeah, this one is not available in a growler. I said, but I'm doing the Husker Doc Talk podcast tonight. She goes, all we know about you, you can have it. So I'm like, all right, that's good. So here's the deal. If you want to taste the honey saison, you got to go to one of the two locations, of course, right there on Maple Street in Benson, or the brewery operation and tap room at 6271 South 108th Street. A little bit about the honey saison. You got 50 pounds of honey added before the fermentation process was complete. Hopped with Nelson Sauvin hops, these are out of New Zealand, I believe, and Huel Melon, and fermented with French yeast. The honey sweetness and the fruity top notes give away to a dry and crisp finish.
It's not as sweet as you would think.
No. When it comes to saisons, I would agree, but it's crisp. I'll give them the crisp.
It is, and I like that. I like that about it.
So we've got a full growler if we're slurring our words by the end of this Husker Doc Talk podcast.
Apparently one of very few people with a full growler.
That's right.
Stuff,
we
from
are
what you just told me.
Special.
Well, that could be interpreted more than one way, I suppose.
I didn't say like special education. I just said we're special.
Gotcha.
We're not taking the short bus to practice, all right?
That could be perceived as an insensitive comment, Travis. I think I'm going to have to go to my safe space now.
Well, you know this is not a safe space podcast by
any
means.
Yeah, it's probably not.
So some wide receivers get banged up this week, including Javon McQuitty, who's out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. Bad timing. Not much depth at wide receiver right now, Rob.
You know, going into the season, I think they really thought this was going to be a year, especially when you looked at the freshmen coming in. I mean, I almost kind of wonder if they've got like they're slapping braces all over Tyjon Lindsey right now, hoping he doesn't get hurt, because I think, you know, you looked at him, you looked at McQuitty, you had a lot of young guys that I think they were really planning on counting on during this season, and now you have some injuries like this. It's a pretty big blow to a team that, I don't think the receiving corps is bone dry as maybe some people in the media are making it out to be. But, I mean, with some of the injuries they've had, the depth is kind of starting to be a little worrisome.
So you have McQuitty's out for the season. Spielman, J.D. Spielman's got a hammy. He's day-to-day. Kean Williams is out for at least 2 weeks with a hammy. Talk about those hammies, because as long as I've been covering sports, the hamstring is the most mysterious injury in the world to me. Some guys can recover quickly. Some guys, it will ruin your entire season.
Well, and I think a lot of it kind of depends on the degree of the injury. And, I mean, any muscle injuries like that. You see guys with pulled hip flexors, quadricep injuries, hamstring injuries, things along those lines. The problem is that in terms of evaluating them, there's multiple degrees of severity. I mean, they can tighten up and you can kind of pull it a little bit. You can have it where you actually have a full-on tear within the muscle itself. And now, when somebody says they pulled a hamstring, it's a pretty vague description. I mean, that can be anywhere from it's an ever so slight strain to they flat out pulled the muscle right off the bone.
How often does that happen? Is it more, when we hear hamstring injury, is it usually more of a strain than a pull off the bone type
thing? It usually is. It's usually not a severe one. And when I say that, you're talking about somebody who's going to probably be out for anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks, depending on the severity of it. But that's kind of your middle of the road, a little bit more mundane hamstring injury. The thing is, though, too, that you got to remember, I mean, this is a reasonably decent sized muscle group on the back of the leg, and it's where a lot of your speed and power comes from while running. And so in any sport, you injure that hamstring, you're going to hamper your ability to do anything once you get out on the field. The problem is that if you injure it a little bit, you're going to send somebody back out there. You go out too soon, you're going to re-injure it right away, and then you got somebody who's out for another couple of weeks, and so on and so forth. So it's easy to injure. It tends to be a little bit of a lingering injury, and you can't really work around it. It's not one of these things where if we tape it up enough, you'll be able to go out and play. I mean, you need a lineman, for instance, with, say, like a wrist fracture, a broken bone in the hand, a severe wrist sprain or strain. Oftentimes, you can tape it up. You can put a splint on it. You can cast it and still be able to go out and play. And as long as you can kind of bite the bullet from a pain standpoint, you're still able to play and perform, usually at a reasonably high level. You can't do that with a hamstring injury, and that's why they become so problematic. It's because of the fact that you can't work around them. You can't just tape them up and go. They do tend to be kind of a lingering injury, and you can't not use your hamstring. Every time you take a step, walking, running, jumping, you're using it.
When it comes to training camp, before games are even played, it's impossible to prevent injuries. Do those injuries usually happen, on your recollection, on your memory, when you least expect it?
Like, we weren't allowed to get injured when I played.
Because you were a superhero.
Pretty much. To a degree, you can prevent them. I don't know if that's a wholly accurate statement. Well, in a lot of it, I mean, the working out, the conditioning, the off season, things of that nature, you kind of prepare yourself. Now, I mean, you see some guys who kind of get a reputation for being injury prone, so to speak. And I suppose there's some guys who just, in terms of their muscle density, amount of connective tissue in their body, maybe more resistant to getting injuries. You see some of these guys who play an entire career without ever missing a game or a practice. They're kind of put together a little bit different. I think some people maybe just a little bit smaller muscle groups, a little less dense muscle groups, different bone structure, et cetera, may predispose you to more injuries. I don't know if it's a case of they happen when you least expect it. They happen when they happen. The thing is, though, I think there's a degree of prevention that you can do. Now, sometimes you plant your foot the right way. You put a certain amount of force on a joint, on a muscle group, on a bone, whether that's from stopping, planting, turning, twisting, a collision. There's some stuff that's going to be absolutely not preventable no matter what. Classically, you used to see a lot of the muscular type injuries in guys who just weren't conditioned very well. Guys who didn't spend the off season working out as hard. When you see some of these injuries in some of the younger players, the freshmen, oftentimes you do have to wonder a little bit. It's not so much that they weren't working hard over the summer, but there's a big difference from a overall developmental standpoint in a guy who's been in the program for 1, 2, 3 years, has been working out at this level, been going through this and the intensity of practices and workouts that the upperclassmen have been for a few years, compared to a kid who's right out of high school, who it's hard to know exactly what to do to get ready at that level. It's hard to know how to condition yourself to the extreme level that these guys are conditioned at. And sometimes it's just sort of a time thing. These guys just got to go out and practice and work at this for a couple of years to be able to get to the point where those muscles, those joints, those ligaments and tendons are conditioned to the point that they're not going to get injured with as high a frequency.
Man, this honey saison from Infusion Brewing, it's pretty complex, but the more I drink, the more I figure it out. It's that crisp sweetness on the front end of the palate and just a little bit of hops on the back end. This is growing on me big time. I like this.
I like beer. I think you've overanalyzed it.
Now you think I'm like becoming a professional beer taster on this show.
It's a freaking tasty beer, I'll tell you that.
Of course, the Huskers kick off the season on September 2nd against Arkansas State at home. Rob, what is the biggest sporting event in Lincoln between now and then?
Between now?
And September 2nd. Biggest sporting event in Lincoln between now and September 2nd. Right
in Lincoln.
Yes. I've stumped you, I can see.
Is there a volleyball game?
Screw the volleyball team. Not that I'm saying anything bad about them, but it's not as big
as
this.
Again, that could be taken more than one way.
Yeah, now here's the deal. Terrence Bud Crawford takes on Julius Ndongo at Pinnacle Bank Arena.
Oh, God, I forgot that was at Pinnacle Bank.
Two world champions. This is a unification fight for the junior welterweight division. Looking for great seats? Ticket Express is exactly what you're looking for. Lower bowl and ringside seats available at TicketExpress.com. And they just launched the brand new, easier to navigate, and a lot cleaner website, TicketExpress.com. So check it out today. You boxing fan?
I love boxing.
This is a better fight. It won't be billed as a better fight than McGregor-Mayweather, but Terrence Bud Crawford...
If you're a boxing fan, anything's going to be better than McGregor-Mayweather.
And I hope people in Nebraska understand that this is one of the biggest fights because the heavyweight division sucks so bad right now, and not having a good heavyweight hurts boxing big time. And I don't know if the McGregor-Mayweather fight helps boxing or hurts it. I think it hurts it.
It's spectacle in my mind.
That's all it is.
Spectacle.
You know, Crawford, when he fought at Madison Square Garden, was like one of the biggest boxing pay-per-views, I think, of last year or this year so far. And you have two unbeatens here. It's the toughest ticket in town, and Ticket Express has exactly lower bowl or ringside tickets.
Why does Chad not have tickets?
Well, in that's
it's
true.
It's kind of scary sometimes, honestly, how it gets, especially for events like this that it's hard. It's impossible to get a seat for this without
25 years this year for Ticket Express. Can you believe that? Chad Carr has been doing business for 25 years at Ticket Express. And by the way, he texted me tonight and said, tell Dr. Rob hi.
Hey, Chad, how you doing, buddy?
So if boxing's not your thing, and I don't know why it wouldn't be, but also that night at the CenturyLink Center in Omaha is Lady Gaga. So if you want lower bowl seats or even club level seats for Lady Gaga that night, you can also check it out at TicketExpress.com. So we know that Tanner Lee is the starting quarterback. Now the fight for the most popular guy on campus begins. Who's the most popular guy on campus, Rob?
I think it's going to be Tristan Jebbia.
And what I mean by that, it's the second string quarterback.
Yeah.
The second string quarterback is always the most popular guy on campus.
At least among the local media.
You've got Tristan Jebbia, who had a great practice on Thursday, battling out with Patrick O'Brien. This could get interesting. Because if Jebbia wins...
What's O'Brien going to...
He leaves.
Is he going to transfer?
Don't you think?
I don't know. I could see him doing so. The guy's invested a lot in coming to Nebraska. You know, you think about the recruiting process, the buying in, helping get other recruits here. He seems to be a very loyal guy. He seems to be a really loyal guy to this coaching staff.
But loyalty's only going to get you so far. It will,
but I mean, you got a guy who's pretty ingrained here because he's basically been here for 2 years now because he enrolled early.
I know.
You know, the thing is, though, too, I kind of wonder about, I mean, how much of a product of hype is he and what other schools want him?
Kurt Dukes. I mean, you bring up all these products.
There's all of these guys that you thought were going to be the next great one.
Yep.
And it just never pans out. I mean, it's such a transition from high school to college. And it doesn't matter what.
Harrison Beck.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at. And it's a huge step.
Well, look at the two quarterbacks at Alabama last year, who going into the opener thought they were going to battle for 1 and 2. And before you know it, the third stringer takes over, and he goes the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's
it's just one of those things that you never know how it's going to play out.
No, there's not a lot of, well, there is a rhyme or reason to it. And I think there's a lot of intangibles that go into in terms of, especially at the quarterback position, maturity, having that presence in the huddle, understanding the system, being able to read defenses. I think one of the problems is for a lot of these guys as they come out of high school is that you got some guys that have that rocket arm. They've got that height. They've got that arm strength. They've got the speed. They've got pocket presence. The thing is, though, there's that'll create, I mean, those things that I just mentioned right there, accuracy, arm strength, pocket presence, ability to move well, ability to run, those are the things that will make you an all-American high school quarterback. You will be a 3-4-5-star high school quarterback with all of those things. You get to college, and all of a sudden, that's going to make you a third stringer.
Okay.
Because everybody has those. Now, all of a sudden, you've got to understand defense. You've got to understand the offensive system in which you're in. You've got to be able to recognize changes that the defense is throwing at you, make audible, switch plays, make the other guys around you understand what's going on in terms of understanding all of that as well. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be the starting quarterback.
So let me ask you this. Is there a benefit to really getting on campus early then?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're a guy who has those intangibles, again,
but you don't know that, do you?
You know, so I think some guys know that, some guys don't. I mean, and then there's some stuff like the, I guess I shouldn't call the ability to read a defense and recognize changes in coverage and being able to make audibles as intangibles. Those aren't intangibles. Those are very real world skills and
that's just smarts
and attributes of a quarterback. There's intangibles as well too. I mean, take Tommy Frazier. I gotta be honest with you, when he was a true freshman, he was actually pretty good at reading defenses, but he also had just this, some of these incredible intangibles when it came to,
he had instincts.
Just, yeah, and that, honestly, that's probably the best word for it. He just had incredible instincts. And that made him one of the best ever. Now, I think Patrick O'Brien has all the physical tools. I think he's a highly, highly intelligent kid. I don't know if he's as good at reading defenses, making changes on the fly as the other two guys are. I don't, you know, some guys just recognize stuff and recognize it quicker, and they can translate that into a productive play change. They can ad lib on the fly. They can make the audible in half the time as somebody else, and that makes all the difference between an All-American and a bench warmer.
Hey, are you looking for Husker News 24/7? Well, HuskerMax.com is the best place to find the latest and greatest news around the clock, and they distribute this podcast. Go to HuskerMax.com. So, Rob, the Regents approved the 11-year $128 million deal with Adidas. So the relationship with Adidas continues. I'm going to say this, in that I hate Adidas gear. I despise it. I don't think it's that good. But
how much Adidas gear have you ever worn?
No. I've got one Adidas polo right now. I'm into the brand, but let me. I'm not knocking it. I'm a Nike guy, right? But I say
you're wearing a Reebok shirt.
Yeah, well, because I got it at Sam's Club. Anyway, but for Nebraska, this makes perfect. It makes good business sense, and you're not playing second fiddle to anybody. You are Adidas's prime school.
Okay, I liked this move as well. Now you go back one year ago, 2 years ago. Everybody wanted to get rid of Adidas. It's the worst thing ever. Why aren't we going with Under Armour? Why aren't we going with Nike? Now all of a sudden Under Armour's having some financial difficulties. You actually worry about them being able to follow through on the contracts they do
have.
Because
they sold out for Notre Dame and everybody else.
And then you look at Nike. Nike doesn't care about Nebraska.
No, not at all.
Yeah, Nebraska could negotiate a deal with Nike. And actually, I do know for the fact, I know Nebraska spoke with Nike. There were extensive discussions with Nike.
But at the end of the
day, Nike doesn't care.
No.
They don't. They've got the people they want, And if you're not one of those schools, they don't care about
now,
you.
And if a year ago, hold on, I didn't mean to cut you off. If a year ago, Nike comes to Nebraska and says, hey, we want you to be the jump man like Michigan was, that's a different story. And you say, hey, we're the only jump man, that makes sense. But now that Michigan's the jump man, well, you're second fiddle to Michigan. You are Adidas' prime school.
Yeah, and there's other schools that are Nike schools that Nike really, really likes.
Yeah.
And very much caters to. And again, Nebraska is not one of them. Now, Nike's also one of these corporations that, and you know what, to their credit, I don't have a problem with this. It's good business sense. They want the teams that are going to be the very, very visible,
yes,
high-profile teams. And I hate to say it, it's not 1995 anymore. It's not 1997 anymore.
Hey, don't leave yourself out. You were an Apex guy, though, weren't you?
We were Converse and Apex, baby. We're two companies that don't even exist anymore.
Hey, who has the best selection of Husker Adidas gear? Well, that's Husker Hounds, of course. Right there on the new homepage of HuskerHounds.com, you can find the 2017 Husker Coaches Sideline Polo. Hats, jerseys, t-shirts, sweatshirts, everything Husker is at Husker Hounds. Three locations in Omaha, and now the brand new website where you can order easily at HuskerHounds.com.
Which is where I get all of my Adidas gear.
So here's the deal. I think
which I do have
either next week or
Scott.
The following week, we're going to be visiting, I think, the 84th Street location. I haven't talked to Scotty about this, but I know
Scott doesn't know about this.
But I know he wants us. But I think we're going to record live, and we'll get everybody to, so if they want to come out some evening, watch us record a podcast. It's quite interesting, actually. But we'll be at one of the Husker Hounds locations. I'm going to push for the 84th Street location.
It's all of about 4 minutes from my house,
and that's why I'm thinking of you. And I'll bring the beer, too. Infusion, we'll have Infusion nice. Beer there. Because I asked Scotty, I said, hey, if we do a live show, can we have beer at the location? He goes, Trav, it's me, it's Scott. And I'm like, all right, that's what I like to hear. So also at the Regents meeting, the new chancellor says, listen, yes, Nebraska's playing a Friday night game this year at Illinois, but he does now never expects, you don't ever want to say never, but to this point, doesn't expect Nebraska will ever host a Friday night game. First of all, I don't think college football should be playing on Friday night.
Not my cup of tea. I think it ought to be kind of sort of a protected night for high school
football.
I'm
with you.
You know, there was a few years ago. Do you remember when they had the Omaha Nighthawks?
Yes.
It was. I don't even know what league that was anymore.
Well, I don't know. I remember Joe Moglia was the head coach.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say XFL, but that's not it.
That's not. They practiced at the Kroc Center.
Me.
And they played at TD Ameritrade Park. That's all I remember.
Yeah, you know, they used to play at the old Rosenblatt before they tore it down. It became the rest of the zoo.
I think they played one season at Rosenblatt and then the next like one or two at TD Ameritrade.
Yeah.
I think.
I remember the first year they opened, my wife got season tickets. And, you know, it was kind of fun. We went to all the home games. We tailgated. I mean, it was actually a blast. You know, Omaha likes an event.
Yeah.
And I think Omaha was, from what I understand, the second most successful franchise. Again, whatever freaking league that was.
But I forget. Don't ask me to look it up.
There was Omaha in the Las Vegas League, which I remember Las Vegas because it was coached by Jim Fossil, who was one of my coaches with the New York Giants. Anyway, but I mean, you could go, you could tailgate. Law enforcement was very, it was kind of like College World Series. So law enforcement in Omaha was very open about everybody walking around with cups of beer. As long as you poured it into the red solo cup or had a koozie on, they were A-okay with you tailgating and walking around with open containers. And so it was a lot of fun. But when I think back on it, I'm also thinking about the fact, okay, it's Friday night. You got all these high school football games going on.
Yep.
It was a bit of a distraction from that. And I think in hindsight, I think Friday nights ought to be protected for high school football. I've always been a fan of the Thursday night ESPN game.
Yeah, I have been too.
It doesn't interfere with a lot of high school games. Now, I do know some high schools periodically. I think most high schools play maybe like one Thursday night game every other season.
Well, it's usually because, like in the Metro, you know, Millard.
Yeah, it's where you can find a field to play on.
You know, Prep plays at Burke Stadium now, so if you got to share that stadium. There's plenty of teams that share stadiums.
Yeah, and so it's and I get that. So there's going to be the occasional Thursday night game, but you know the ESPN Thursday night game, that goes all the way back to when I was in college. Absolutely loved it. it's kind of one of those sort of like midweek teasers of college football, which to this day is about the only sport I actually watch on TV. The Friday night thing, I just don't get.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, and here's the other thing. I don't see the reason for it. And I understand the logic of, hey, here's a game that we've got no competition. Nobody else is airing anything sports related of any of substance on a Friday night in the fall. Let's have a weekly Friday night game. It doesn't do anything for me. I really don't think you gain any all that much by doing it. And I think most fans would just soon wait till Saturday to watch their college football.
See, I'm right in line with you on that. So I'm going to drop a subject on you that it'll be the last one we talk about on this podcast for tonight.
The last one?
For tonight, because it's Friday night.
Either we drank way too much beer or this is going to be like a long-winded subject.
No, it could be a long one. It could be a short one. It could be a long-winded one. But I didn't tell you what it was because I thought about this. When you drive 8 hours from Fort Robinson to Omaha in a day,
you think about things.
You think about a lot of shit. And so this one went through my head.
And for you, it takes about 8 hours. Hours to actually think about stuff.
Hey, just because I went to Grandview University in Des Moines and you're a doctor doesn't mean you can pick on me like that.
So when you got done with Grandview University, yes, and you hit the
big time?
You hit the little enter key on the computer keyboard. Did it actually print out a diploma certificate for you?
Honest to God, I didn't even walk during my grad. I graduated college in 3.5 years. I was before you knew it, I was the weekend anchor at WAOW-TV.
Not bad for a junior college. Most people do it in two.
You listen here, smartass. Just because Grandview
Travis used, has never let me in his house again.
Grandview used to be a junior college. I happened to go there when it was a college. It's now a university. So it's made the way up. Don't make fun of me. I got a 4-year degree. That's all that matters, right? I'm not saying it's one of high academic standards. It's an AIA school.
Short bus.
Listen. Anyway, so I was driving across the state of Nebraska. Once I reached Alliance, this popped into my head. I figured I got another 6 hours to go. But it comes down to training camp. And you've been through many training camps, both in college and the National Football League. And so we sit here. Now that we're in a I even go back to when I was on TV at Channel 3. And I got out in 2010, and we still probably weren't in the 24/7, 365 cycle that we are today as news. I mean, we were getting there, but...
By what date again?
2010. Not as extensive. It was getting there.
Yeah, it was getting there.
It was getting there, but not... It didn't seem like we were doing as many summer stories back then as they do now.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay. So, it just got me thinking, okay... Right now, it's a slow cycle because every story has been told leading up to summer camp. Now we really kind of just wait for injuries to happen.
Yeah, you need a game to play, you need a star player to get hurt.
And that's what I'm getting at. You mentioned a game to play. Why can't football do what basketball does? Basketball is allowed to go to a competing school in a closed environment, no media, no fans, You go to an opponent. Creighton has gone to Iowa State. Iowa State's gone to Nebraska. All sorts of things to play a scrimmage against other teams. Now, in the National Football League, when I covered the Cheese League up in Wisconsin, the Packers go over and play Minnesota. The Chiefs were up in River Falls at the time.
We never did with the Giants, but we did with Jacksonville.
Yeah,
you'd scrimmage with.
Yeah.
I think we scrimmaged with Tampa Bay one year.
So what would it hurt if, like you say, this weekend, you say, okay, we're going to go to Iowa State. We're going to spend Saturday, Sunday there, or we're going to go to Kansas. And it's close to the media. You don't, but just to A, play against somebody different, see a different defense. Is it all that bad?
I don't like the idea of that.
Why is that?
Or here's the thing, and some of it's almost kind of a need thing.
Okay.
I don't think you need to do it because, A, I think you're setting yourself up for needless injuries. Because I do think...
Needless injuries happen okay, all the time.
And I get that. But when you're going against somebody from another team... And I get it. When you scrimmage against yourself, you're supposed to be going hard. You're playing hard. You're practicing hard. You're supposed to be going full speed. You're not going to hit your own teammate.
You're saying 95%?
you're going at about 98%.
Okay.
And sometimes you go from that jump from 98 to 100% is all it takes to go from I'm going to look good on the scrimmage tape to I literally just took this guy out for the season. Sometimes that's all the difference it makes. And you know, you see the NFL teams used to do that all the time, and I don't think they do it as much anymore.
Not as much. It still happens, but not as much.
It does, and it just, I think there's a higher risk for injury.
But you're also playing preseason games already.
And I'll give you that, which are like the most worthless things on the planet Earth. Oh, God, we hated them. Anyway, and I was like a complete journeyman at the NFL level, and I hated preseason games. Anyway, I don't think you need it. And I understand what you're saying from an interest standpoint for the players themselves, but how long is college 2-a-days?
I was just thinking week and a half, isn't it?
Because I'm thinking back to when I went through, I think we had like
2 weeks.
We had like 2.5 weeks of 2-a-days, but I think now it's been shortened down a little bit. But it's one of those things. It's nice to have something to break up the monotony, and I get that, and you have something a little bit different. But that being said, I don't know how much more you gain from it.
Well, can't you gain something from a coaching standpoint, maybe from more than a player standpoint? Because as a coach, you watch your guys go through the same things every single day, and you can run scout team stuff, but you're watching the same players every single day. I would think it would help more from a coaching standpoint to see how you do against other personnel.
Rob's been playing against Terry Keneally
day in and day out
for the last 2 weeks. Let's see how Rob does again. So-and-so from Iowa State.
Yes.
Well, in that era, we'd kick the ever-loving shit out of the guys from Iowa State.
Except for Marv Seiler.
Except for Marv, who... Yeah, but you got to keep in mind, though, the laws of physics are completely suspended in Ames, Iowa.
But go back to...
Whether it's weather, Marv Seiler, something's not right in that place. I don't know what it is. I you know what? Iowa State's a hell of an engineering school. I'm pretty sure that they, all those nerds hanging out in the College of Engineering at Iowa State, worked something in terms of like manipulating physics.
Well, they put that south. In and around they bowled Ames. Off the south end zone now, so the wind doesn't go through there quite as bad as it once did.
Oh, God, they're going to be worse than ever now because of that.
Okay, now back to the original point.
And I see what you're saying about that. I think when push comes to shove, I'm really, truly not sure it makes that big a difference in terms of overall development to go and do one Saturday scrimmage against some other team. From an interest standpoint as a player, I think it would definitely break the monotony.
And I see what you mean by the injury, because what would happen is this. As soon as you go do it and somebody gets injured for the season, somebody says, why did we do that? Because you feel better. If they get injured in your own practice going against your own guys, you go, that sucks. That's football. You go on the road, man, you shouldn't be doing this stuff. I mean, it's hindsight would always be 20/20 when it comes to that.
I
mean,
I agree. I think you're setting yourself up for a lot of scrutiny in hindsight, but I'm not sure you actually gain all that much. Tangibly, I'm not sure you gain all that much from actually doing it. I'm just saying, I don't think it's all that great a decision. Now, here's the other thing. Is that, okay, let's say it's Nebraska against Iowa State back in the 1980s, 1990s, and you're doing this.
Hey, I'm saying you go out of conference. I'm not.
You'd have to do that, but now you're also getting into, potentially, you're getting into travel and a whole bunch of other expenses.
Basketball does
like
it.
That.
You wouldn't have to take the whole 105-man roster over.
Okay, but that's football. For a scrimmage, that's who you want to evaluate as 100 guys.
Okay. Well, you could run multiple scrimmages.
You could do more than one, but basketball's different. It's a hell of a lot easier. And it's now here's the other thing. I understand there's physical contact in sports other than football, but you know what? Basketball players aren't purposefully trying to slam themselves into each other at 40 miles an hour. In football, you are.
Yeah. No, I get it. It was just one of those ideas I had driving across the state. I don't think it's that far-fetched. I think it's one you could consider, but I understand where you're coming from.
I don't think it's all that far-fetched. I totally understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying I disagree with it.
Hey, don't forget, coming up on January 13th, 2018, it's the Remington Trophy presentation at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. For tickets, go to RemingtonTrophy.com. We want to thank Dave Remington and the Remington Trophy for being the presenting sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast again this year. Of course, all the proceeds from the Remington Trophy presentation dinner go to the Boomer Esiason Foundation in the fight against cystic fibrosis. If you want to follow Dr. Rob all week long, and he's a fun one to follow on Twitter, do so at Doc Talk Sports. And also feel free to drop us an email with any questions you might have. DocTalkSports@gmail.com is the email address. And I did get some this week. I didn't pull them up, but we'll bring it up next week on the podcast because they're pertinent throughout the preseason. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. We'll be back next week to talk more Husker football as the countdown to the 2017 season begins.